This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop. Because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Some NFL headlines over the weekend. Adam Thielen apparently agreeing to a deal with the Carolina Panthers for 3 years. So Adam Thielen
take him
lands
off the board
in Carolina. Take him off the board at wide receiver for the Titans. The Detroit Lions bringing in Gardner Johnson from the Philadelphia Eagles. So Detroit having a very intriguing offseason with Dan Campbell and company. Making some moves. They got Montgomery coming in from the Bears. Look at those Lions out there making some moves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I like that move. Yeah. I'm a little confused by – I mean, Montgomery's a good player, but I thought Jamal Williams was a really good player and was perfect
Swift
for them.
And yeah.
So I don't – that's an interesting just kind of swap out. But
Jamal Williams is very upset about the contract offer that he was offered by the Lions apparently too.
Is that right?
Very upset.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. Because I just enjoyed him. Did someone sign him yet?
I don't think so.
Man, that guy is fun.
He is
get him
a lot
here.
Of fun.
Get him here.
A lot of fun.
Get him to Nashville.
Brandon Cooks traded from the Texans to the Cowboys, so the reporting around that is they're probably likely out on OBJ
yep.
at this point, so we'll see what happens with Odell Beckham Jr. But Brandon Cooks going from Houston to the Dallas Cowboys, and then Laremy Tunsil gets another deal in Houston. So the draft day mask of all that fiasco around Laremy Tunsil hasn't really seemed to hurt him too much. He's made a lot of money in his career to this point. Good for him.
That's right, man. You know what? Get the munchies. Get some burritos. Get out there. You're good.
Yep. No question about that.
That is like if that exact thing happened now. Because even at the time, it was like, oh, my God. In 2016. If it happened now, what would people do? I think the reaction would be a little bit different.
Just laugh. Yeah. Oh, okay. So that's what's going on there. Cool. Jordan Schultz reporting this morning that the Tennessee Titans are finalizing a one-year deal worth up to $5 million for free agent cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting, formerly of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's 25 years old. He was on the Super Bowl team. He notched an interception, a forced fumble, six PBUs during Tampa Bay's last four games of 2022. So a young guy worth up to $5 million. So that means the contract is not $5 million. But up to $5 million for Sean Murphy Bunting, adding to the secondary group for the Titans. And I did wonder, and we talked about this, Joe, would there be a move made at corner given everything going on at corner? I mean, you've got Christian Fulton. You've got Elijah Molden. You've got Roger McCreary. You drafted Caleb Farley, but we know how that's gone to this point. It did kind of feel like they needed somebody else in there, and now you've got Sean Murphy Bunting coming over from Tampa Bay on a one-year deal for the Titans.
Yeah, I think this is another one of those, you're not breaking the bank. It's a guy who has definitely done some good things, and it's a position that you had to address somewhere. So I think this is another one that you could now take off the draft, because as we've talked about, if the Titans could double their draft picks, they'd gladly do it. And I think that this give you some protection if Fulton – and Molden, you know, have injury issues, but now you feel good about, you know, four corners. And I guess this is confirmation. I don't think we need any confirmation, but I mean, if there were like real hopes that like Caleb Farley was going to be able to come, you know, back and like help this team, then maybe you don't make this signing, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't I mean, how it's can not like this is some big revelation,
right?
But
like,
it's just confirmation.
It's confirmation for sure. Like, if you're the Titans, number one, there's the injury part of it with Caleb Farley. Like, when's he going to be back and fully healthy and all that stuff? But number two, like if you're Vrabel looking at it right now, I don't know how in the world you could feel confident whatsoever that once he is back and healthy, that he helps you all that much out there. Now, if he does, it's great. It's a bonus, but I don't know how you could plan on that if you're the Titans right now.
Yeah. I mean, so you could look at it like, well, the pressure on him is non-existent.
Yep.
So, but also you could look at it like his time here, you know, could be pretty short. So this is your, they've done a good job of finding, obviously, these other guys. They've done a good job of being able to get out there, find people, and plug them in. That's the interesting thing is, you know, Anthony Midgett gets fired after this season. And I understand, you know, the numbers say they had the worst pass defense in the NFL and everything like that. But I actually thought, like, if you look at just the process of bringing in somebody and plug him into the defense and play, I mean, wouldn't that be some credit to him?
Yeah.
But anyway, now they've bolstered the group so that you have, you know, you have a fourth guy. If they're all healthy,
mm-hmm.
you have a good player, starting quality player as your fourth corner.
You do. And look, he's a guy that's made some big plays and big moments before too. I said he was on the Super Bowl team. He had three picks in that postseason, including one I remember very well.
Yes.
Against the Green Bay Packers. So he's a guy that's made some big time plays and big moments. Now, what's his role look like here? I don't know. I mean, that's going to be interesting to see what that is. I mean, he's been a guy that, you know, he played 53% of the defensive snaps last year. Now, he also missed, what, five games? So he missed five games. So you're talking about a guy that, you know, he played nine games in 2021. He played 12 games last year. The year before that in 2020 when they won the whole thing, he played in all 16, and he played in 83% of the defensive snaps. So he was a big part of that group. What does his role look like here with the Titans? Either way, I think it's good to have a little depth there. And now they've got it with Murphy Bunting coming in.
Yeah, so now you think about safety depth. Although, yep. God, you're really meaning to think about safety depth much more than I've considered.
Maybe so.
You know, moving forward. But that to me is, you look, but let's say that, you know, doesn't happen. Kevin Byard's back, everything's fine. You still, that's where, to me, you really need to find another player. You need to find, and that may be, honestly, like drafting a safety a little bit higher in the draft might be the move this year for this team. I think you need to, like they did with Amani Hooker in 2019 in the fourth round, right? Yes, I believe so. Because I think you need to develop the next safety, regardless of how that situation
Well, went. And there's the Kevin Byard situation that has been interesting to monitor over the weekend. We heard Jared Stelman on Friday talk about how some sources had told him that Kevin Byard was asking for a release from the Titans. You know, there's all sorts of different reporting out there that's come out that the Titans have approached Kevin Byard about taking a pay cut and that Kevin Byard does not want to do that. Now, we've talked about that before, like the idea of players taking a pay cut sounds great. Very rarely do players actually do that. I mean, it's a very rare thing that happens. But Teron Davenport reporting over the weekend that, according to a couple of sources for him, they confirmed that Kevin Byard has not asked the Titans to release him. Now, it's pretty clear to me that something's going on with Kevin Byard. Like, I think the pay cut part of this is real. Like, they've obviously approached him about that. There's multiple different reports about that. And I do not blame Kevin Byard for saying, yeah, no, man, I'm not doing that. But whether or not he's asked him for a release, Jared had sources that said he has. TD had sources that says that Kevin Byard has not asked the Titans for a release. What do you make of the situation surrounding Kevin Byard and the Titans right now as we head into week number two of NFL free agency?
Yeah. Well, first of all, yeah, Jared had a source, and I talked to Jared. You know, sometimes we'll talk about stuff if there's, like, you know, stuff like this. And I think that, you know, I wasn't able to listen to shows down, you know, covering Tennessee and Orlando. I wasn't able to listen to his show, but I've seen a little bit of people dunking on him because TD had a source or maybe multiple sources who said, you know, that he has an answer release. You know, in a situation like this, that can get very much into semantics, right? Now, again, I don't know how Jared said. Did he say, I demand a release? You know, I mean, or is it like, well, then how about you just release me?
Right.
Like, if you say, come back and say, well, then maybe you should just release me or whatever, is that asking for a release?
Right.
Again, we get into semantics. So someone told TD that's not the case, regardless, I mean, look, this is a tenuous situation. And to me, if you're the Titans, first of all, I mean, you want to be, if you're going to do something like this, I understand looking at him and his deal. I do. But you obviously have to be very careful. And I mean, ultimately, it comes down to what your hope is, that he would agree to something that's still a good number, and that being entrenched here and, you know, how the team looks next year and all these things would be attractive enough that he would take something that you, and then you could say, you know, this is still better than what you would get if you were just out there. Is it? I don't know. I don't know what he would get if he was just out there right now. He's still a really good player. It's not like he's like some quote unquote system guy who, because he's in this defense, he's one of the best safeties in the NFL still. How much longer will he be? I don't know. But
he'll be 30 coming up in August.
Yeah.
Now, it's not like
30, you know, 30 at safety is, it's not 30 at running back.
Exactly.
Right. So it's an interesting situation. I get it. And I think that, you know, here's the thing. I think Byard is a pro, is as much a pro as anybody on that team, okay? And he absolutely, Byard has talked so many times. I mean, shoot, so many guys have come and gone to that secondary, and I swear he talks every time because he talks about everything.
Yep.
Everybody goes to him to talk about everything that happens. And he, I mean, every time it's like, hey, it's a business. I mean, just to paraphrase, he talks about that all the time. He understands what this is. And it really comes down to it. So I don't think it's going to be one of these things where, like, you're so offended if you're him that it's like, now that's it, I'm out of here. It really comes down to, okay, what is the number and what can I get out there? And if you think you can get more, I don't blame you.
No, I don't blame you either. Now, I agree with everything you just said, and Kevin Byard has been, you know, on the short list of, you know, franchise-type players. You know, Corey Curtis was talking on Friday on Jared's show about, like, how, you know, he may end up, like, on the Mount Rushmore of Titans one day if things keep going this way. So we'll see what happens on that front. But, like, Kevin Byard's everything you want in a player. Now, having said that, if I'm Kevin Byard, all that's great. I'm not taking a pay cut. Like, it's just – it's not happening. And, you know, there was reporting out there, and Schefter put it out there, that Byard feels like his play has not warranted a pay cut, which I would agree. I think he's played pretty well. And you can make an argument still that he's a top 2-3 safety in the game. So I understand all of that from Kevin Byard's standpoint. I am really interested to see how this plays out, like, if you're the Titans, because, look, Vrabel knows how important Kevin Byard is, and he knows what he's been, but that is a very high cap hit for a safety, and we've talked about that, and we discussed that on Friday. And anytime you have a new general manager coming in, do you look around and say, man, you're paying a lot of money at safety right there? I do wonder how this ends up shaking out with Carthon and Vrabel. Vrabel having obviously been around Kevin Byard for a long time, and knowing how important he is to this group.
Yeah. I mean, it's and that's the thing. If you're looking at it like, so you're saying that how I've played, I should have a pay cut? No. I mean, if I'm the Titans, I'm like, no. That's not what we're saying. You're basically saying we need to work this under the cap. And by the way, you know, we need to break here, but did Jared in the mix of all this confirm, here's another example of the salary cap matters?
I think he actually said that they'll tell you it was for cap reasons, God. But it's not real. We won't believe
it. It's because Amy Adams Strunk has been eating ramen noodles every night and she has no money. Great analysis, Jared.
615-737-1025. What do you make of the addition of Sean Murphy Bunting with the Titans? And what do you make of this situation brewing between the Titans and Kevin Byard? We'll continue that conversation next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds fans, don't miss Wednesday night's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs starting at 6 o'clock. See your Preds star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. Preds player guests are Alexander Carrier, and Jeremy Lozon. Smashville Live brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita Tequila Pure and Simple. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and Kevin Byard, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, maybe they shouldn't have offered a deal they couldn't play. Byard or couldn't pay. Byard has kept up his end of the deal. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line. This is how things work, though, in the NFL. You're always trying to find an edge and create some cap space, and you don't want to be stuck playing players too long that are past their prime. Not saying that Kevin Byard is, because he's played really well the last couple of years. This is not a situation unique to Kevin Byard in the NFL.
Right. But that would be interesting, is like how many times is this successful? Like, I'd love a database of how many times it's asked and how many times it actually happens.
Right.
Doesn't happen.
Don't think
a
it's a
lot.
High percentage.
Yeah, especially with really good players, even if they are getting older, you know?
Yep.
And we don't know what pay cut means what.
Exactly. Like, what are you cutting down to?
Yeah. You know? I mean, so his cap hit is 19. I know, yep. LD from McMinnville says, well, why wouldn't they ask, you know, the guy with the highest cap hit to take a pay cut? I mean, look, I'll be honest, like, Byard is paid very well for a safety.
Yep.
And he has deserved it and he has earned it. He is better as a safety. He's much better relative to his position than Tannehill is to his position in the NFL. Oh, we could all
no
agree
question.
On that. And yet, I think Tannehill is not overpaid.
I would agree.
for his position. I don't think it's warranted to ask that. It's just that's the difference in those two positions.
Jonathan on the text line says, I really feel like a Titans owner has started to micromanage and cut costs any way she can because she got sick of all the bad deals that John Robinson made. Julio Jones, Bud Dupree, Jadeveon Clowney, among others. But it's really starting to make the Titans look like a second-rate organization. This is from Jonathan on the text line. They do have, at the moment, the lowest payroll in the National Football League right now.
Right. Yeah. So again, this is where, first of all, let's let it all play out, right? Like they just went out and assigned a corner. And let's also remember, I mean, whatever you think of it, and honestly, I agree to a large extent, like you can clearly in this league find ways to get under the cap, but you still do have to get there. Like,
yep.
You have, I mean, who just got a massive fine for
the Texans.
Yeah, the Texans for messing up the cap stuff. I mean, like, it is real, and you have to get there. And this is part of it. You know, some of it is lowering a cap hit, which, of course, you can do in different ways. And some of it is, like, you have to just sacrifice some players that you'd like to have on your roster, and you just can't do it. So, I understand. Let's see where it goes. I don't know for sure that this isn't also something to do with Amy Anastronk in the stadium. I think that's a little far-fetched. I think those two pools of money, you know, I think that's it's a tough thing for me to buy. I understand that she's not one of the top wealthiest owners in the NFL, but she's still worth more than $1 billion.
Sure. Well, if that's it, then that's not going to go over well with Titans fans.
I mean, if that's it, then yeah, and second-rate organization is fair. I really have my doubts that that is it.
I got a text that says, my question is, if you're the GM, would you rather trade Henry or Byard? My thought process is, I believe the Titans have been trying to change their identity for a couple of years now, so as sad as I am to say this, I would trade Henry and keep Byard. This is from a texter on the text line. Well, first off, I don't know that I agree that they've been trying to change their identity for a couple of years.
No.
Secondly, like, I would probably, I mean, you're talking about safety and running back, so neither one of those are quote-unquote premium positions. I mean, I don't know who I'd rather trade. Like, to me, like, Byard, he's the leader of the defense. Henry's the leader of the offense. I mean, I think that's pretty clear at this point. Now, Byard, and Corey Curtis brought this up, and we're going to have Corey on coming up at 8 o'clock, but he brought this up with Jared. Like, Byard, as much as Henry has been directly responsible for winning games for the Titans, Like, Byard has two. Like, Byard, he had two picks in the Dallas game. Like, he's the only reason they're in that game. You know, the game last year in L.A. where he has the pick six to the house. Like, the guy is directly responsible for winning some games for the Titans.
Right. And remember, he had
the Colts game last year.
That's right. Now, in 2020, when they had an amazing offense and a terrible defense, he had kind of a rough year that year. Yep. You know, missing some tackles in the open field, which we weren't used to seeing. Like, Chuck on the Texans, like, you know, as he lost a step in man coverage, I mean, he's been beat. You're not going to find a safety in this league who, from time to time, you know, matched up in man against a tight end, you know, a really good tight end or a slot receiver or something that doesn't get beat sometimes. But I don't watch Byard right now and think, oh, wow, has he lost a step? Now, that could be coming soon. I mean, everybody, you want to get ahead of these things before, you know, before it's too late. I get that. But no, at this point, he's really good still.
Well, we were asking those questions 2 years ago. Like, has he lost a step? Have we seen the best of Kevin Byard? And he responded in 2021 with probably his best season as a Titan. And last year, again, I thought he was really good, especially given what was going on around him. So, like, he's responded to me exactly how you hoped he would respond in the 2 years since we were having those questions from Kevin Byard.
No question about it. So, you want him on your team. So, we've talked about Derrick Henry a lot because that's been out there.
Right.
Derrick Henry, trade Derrick Henry, get a fourth maybe or something. I mean, what? Kevin Byard, at his age, with that contract, that's similar.
Yeah, I mean,
not much.
Maybe even worse.
What was it? What was a trade? So Cooks
went like a fifth and a sixth.
Yeah. And again, I mean, like Kevin Byard, I'm not comparing the two. Kevin Byard's much better safety than Brandon Cooks as a receiver, but you're still talking about a productive guy who, and his contract is not big, and he got, you know, fifth, sixth, something like that. So
I got a 2023 fifth rounder and a 2024 sixth rounder. That was the price.
Yeah. Teams don't like trading for contracts. Players in the 30s, no matter how good they are. They typically aren't giving up much for that.
Santa in Portland says, Rand is playing money ball. It appears he's doing what's necessary to get what Vrabel wants and needs. This from Santa in Portland on the text line.
Let's talk about the football team next year. If it doesn't have Kevin Byard on it, and basically it's Amani Hooker, who, by the way, missed, what, seven games last year with injuries? And then filling in whoever at safety?
Yeah.
You just lost a lot of your juice as a football team.
No question about it. We'll get more into this with Corey Curtis coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on Kevin Byard and the Tennessee Titans as week two of NFL free agency beginning today. Coming up next, we'll get into the Predators. It was a big weekend for the Predators. Huge game on Saturday against the Jets, and then another one yesterday against the Rangers, and it did not go well on the ice. And it did not go well with the injuries either. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, we are in a playoff race, and tonight didn't go the way we went. But I think this time of year, you can't get too low and too high because the games come fast and furious, and we got to make sure that we take what we need to take out of this game, but we also need to move on from it.
That was John Hines after yesterday's loss to the Rangers. It was not pretty yesterday in Madison Square Garden. Rangers went 7-0 against the Nashville Predators. Yesterday it was 6-0 after one, so that was a very quick beatdown of the Preds yesterday. They lose 7-0 to the Rangers in Madison Square Garden. They also lose 3-2 in overtime on Saturday, Joe, against the Jets. And as we knew, Saturday's game against Winnipeg was a big one for the Predators heading into it. They were 4 points back of the Jets with three games in hand. And if you could win that game in regulation, all of a sudden you'd find yourself 2 points back of a playoff spot at that point. Now, look, the Jets end up winning 3-2. The Preds were up 1-0 for most of that game. And then the third period came around. Preds got back up 2-1. Nice goal by Luke Evangelista. Tommy Novak getting the puck to the front there. And then Winnipeg ties it 2-2. They ultimately win in overtime. Now, if you're the Predators, I mean, they were outplayed for pretty much the entirety of the Winnipeg game. UC Saros played really well. They lost Roman Josi after the first period, which we'll get into here in just a few minutes. And they really just kind of held on for dear life there. look, with the roster being what it is right now, with the Yosi injury aside, much less when you factor him into being hurt, like when you start to play better teams, this is kind of what I expected to happen. Now, I didn't necessarily have 7-0 happening with the Rangers.
Didn't have a touchdown yesterday.
But, I mean, it was a pretty clear difference. Like, Winnipeg was better than the Predators, and the Rangers certainly are better than the Predators. So the fact that they lost these games doesn't really surprise me. You did get the point on Saturday, and, you know, Winnipeg, they're not really creating any separation. They got shut out yesterday, too, by the Blues. So, but at the end of the day, you're not in a terribly different spot than you were heading into the weekend. You're 5 points back of Winnipeg now with 3 games in hand. The problem is you're running out of games. Like, you're running out of games. You're at 68 games played. You only have 14 games left in the regular season, and you're now in the part of your schedule where it's going to be tough. I mean, you got Buffalo coming up, and then it's Seattle twice. You got Toronto. You got Boston in the next week. Like, it's going to be tough for the Predators. So, to me, you really needed to win the game against Winnipeg and kind of hang around there and maybe be a couple points back. Your odds are still weren't great anyway, but now, like, it's an extreme uphill climb for the Predators to make the playoffs. And that's just mathematically. And then you look at their roster right now, and with Yossi being out, who knows how long he's going to be out. Right now they've got Yossi out, they've got McDonough out, they've got Carrier out, and they traded away Ekholm. That's their top four as they started this year with. Fabro and Barry are in there. Fabro, man, I know they gave him an extension. He's been bad lately, really bad. And I know that he's playing an elevated role, and that's part of it, but it's not been great from Dante Fabro lately. Their roster's in a spot right now, quite frankly, they're not good enough. Like, they're not even close to being good enough to be a playoff team. They're just not.
And they should keep fighting, and I expect them to keep fighting. And like you said, I mean, it's if you manage to get a couple that maybe we wouldn't have expected, who knows?
Sure.
But how close are they to the other thing?
Bleeping the bed for Bedard?
Uh-huh.
You still got to, well, you got some work to do there too.
Got some work to do there too. Don't get caught in the middle.
Yeah,
don't get caught in the middle. No, you know, and I say that that's from the perspective of someone who's not in it every right. day, like those guys trying to work. And again, there's guys who they want to win, but also there are guys on the ice for this team right now who are trying to demonstrate that they should be in the NHL. So they're going to fight. But if they went on a losing streak, and it's kind of, okay, wipe away the playoffs, and it's just you're just, the rest of the season is you're trying to evaluate players and right. all this stuff. And, you know, we'll see what happens with John Hines. I don't think that would be the worst thing.
Well, I don't think so either. And, look, I'll give them credit, and I know some people don't want to hear this, but I do think the equation has changed, and it's just a way different team than they got out there right now. I thought they fought like heck on Saturday. Like, I thought they gave it everything they had, you know. You had Luke Evangeliste out there, like, diving in front of pucks, blocking shots. Cody Glass, he lost his guy on the faceoff where Adam Lowry ties the game, and that ends up getting the game tied and going to overtime. But he was battling his butt off on the faceoff, and Lowry's, like, twice his size, and he just got knocked over. Like, it happens. So I thought Saturday they competed like crazy. They're just not good enough right now. And yesterday's game, I mean, it snowballed on them. The first, I mean, what did they score? 6 on their first 7 shots? I mean, it snowballs. Now, New York, first off, they're really good, and they hammered Pittsburgh the day before too, 6-0 in the Garden. So the Rangers are feeling it a little bit right now, which is part of this too. But, I mean, the difference right now between the New York Rangers and the Nashville Predators, it may not be 7-0 like it was yesterday, but it's a drastic difference
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, yeah, they're loaded up. Although it hasn't always looked that way, but they're starting to look better. And yeah, there's some reality here with this team. And like you said, I mean, what Fabro made what number 3 on ESPN on the, I mean, I know it wasn't Fabro making it, but Fabro was the victim. He was victimized in the number 3 ESPN top 10 plays.
Yeah.
And you lay it out there like that with the defense corps. What do you expect?
That's the thing. Like, obviously, When you make the decision to sell off, this is what we talked about. Like, it's been a great story, and the young guys have come in, and I think they've played really well. But I've always wondered, like, when the schedule flips around and you're playing some playoff teams, what does it look like? And look, I don't even think Winnipeg's all that good. Like, they got a really good goalie. You know, Scheifele's great. I think Niederreiter's come in and has fit in well. But, like, I don't look as Winnipeg as really any type of serious threat in the Western Conference, and they were head and shoulders better than the Predators the other night. Now, Predators defended well. Saros played great. They fought like heck, like I said, and they gave themselves a chance and got a point out of it, and they deserve credit for it. But Winnipeg was way better than they were on Saturday. It's the reality of their roster now. And then you factor in Josi, who it was weird. You know, Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports he came out with a thread yesterday of every single one of Josi's shifts in the Winnipeg game. And you watch it, and there's really nothing that jumps off the page as to him getting hurt. And he had a collision at one point behind the net, but he played after it. And then he was on the ice to end the first period, and that was it. He never came back out. Didn't travel to New York yesterday with the team, and he's day-to-day. So I don't know how serious it is, but, I mean, look, without Roman Josi, I mean, you're screwed out there if you're the Predators with this roster right now.
Yes. So screwed that I muted myself.
Yes.
Yeah. Day-to-day sometimes. All of a sudden it's like a day and then another day and then a bunch of days.
But it's a month and a half.
Hopefully that's not the case for him. But it is kind of a weird situation.
Yeah.
What would you guess?
I don't know. I mean, it's upper body, so we know that. I mean, I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything that happened with Josi. Now, you know, I'm watching 3,000 things going on in the press box, and I went back and tried to find something. I couldn't find anything, so I don't know exactly what happened after that. But, I mean,
he's had concussions too.
He's had
concussions
in the past. You're hoping it's not that.
Yes.
Like, you're hoping it's like
shoulder or whatever.
Something up there that, you know, you don't want it to be hurt at all, but you would prefer something like that as to a concussion. Because I remember, it's kind of funny to think about this now, but I remember when they gave Roman Josi his first deal. I think it was 7 years, like $28 million, something like that. So it's not a ton of money, but you're like, man, that's a long time to commit for a guy that's had like concussion problems left and right early in his career, and it worked out really well for the Predators. But those things just don't go away, and you're hoping it's not that for Josi.
Yeah, especially, you know, obviously what's happened with Forsberg. You don't want a rash of that, for sure.
And now if you're the Predators, I mean, we've talked about this, but the problem is you've played fewer games than anybody in the Western Conference outside of Colorado, and that means that those games are coming fast and furious now. I mean, you play three times this week and then again on Sunday. I mean, you're basically playing every other night from here until the end of the year. That's basically what it is. And you got Seattle coming up twice this week, the Ellie Tolvanen Revenge Tour stopping in town, as multiple people pointed out on the text line.
Video tribute?
This morning. So,
video tribute?
I mean, they gave one to Nino. He was here for like 55 games. So I'd imagine Tolvanen gets one.
I'd like them to do a still shot of the Tennessean column I wrote about him in Pyeongchang. He's going to be the greatest hockey player in the history of mankind.
Move over, Wayne Gretzky. It's Ellie Tolvanen time.
That's about what, right? I think that line was in there.
But, I mean, Seattle twice, Toronto at home. Boston on the road next week. Pittsburgh, who's not very good, but you can say hi to your good friend Ron Hextall if you're David Poile next week. And then St. Louis.
See, he'll give you the clothes off his back,
right,
for some pocket lint.
Just look, the Predators, they're 5 points out, 14 games left. I mean, the playoffs to me, not mathematically, but to me, kind of died this weekend. Like, I think we saw what the team is, which is a young team that's going to fight, but they're just not equipped right now. And look, that's not a surprise. Like, when you make the moves at the deadline that they made, that's not a surprise. This is what we anticipated happening. It just didn't happen for a while. And now that they've started to lose a little bit more frequently lately, it's a little bit of a reality check as to where they are.
I agree. It'll be interesting to see if they continue to have the same fight. And I do. I mean, I won't be surprised if they do, because again, individually, there are a lot of guys out there who are trying to prove themselves. I was stunned to see Matt Duchene had no shot attempts in an entire hockey game.
He was not very good on Saturday.
So that's there's an example of someone like, okay, is that guy in the last month going to be all in and all fighting for every inch of ice?
It's a good question. Now, I think he got banged up a little bit on Saturday based on some conversations that I've had. And, you know, he missed the first part of the second period. So I think he was banged up a little bit on Saturday. But there's no excuse not to have a shot attempt that game.
It's just hard to even wrap my mind around that. But, yeah, look, the last month here would have been / would be fun if they were pushing for it. It's not like it's impossible.
Right.
But I think you're right. I think that in the end, we'll look back at this last weekend like, yeah, you had to beat Winnipeg in that game.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We'll do that coming up next. So your brackets busted? Most of them are. Sign up and play the official 16-team game bracket challenge brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and the Bluffs at Rocky Ridge. Enjoy the biggest and best views in the Nashville area from your dream acreage home site. Call now at 866-GET-LAND. You can go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge or the Game Nashville app now and pick your teams for a chance to win tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, April 15th. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Either the Rob Rant, the Rex Rant, the Red Rant. Every morning here on the program at 7:45. And today's rant is basically one for myself, a rant at me. And it's a shaming of myself of why in the world have I not been watching Caitlin Clark of Iowa play basketball more often and sooner than I have. Now, look, I've known about Caitlin Clark, and I've watched some highlights of Caitlin Clark play basketball before. She's basically, to me, like the Steph Curry of women's basketball. She's got unlimited range, she's fearless, and she can fire from anywhere, and she's a lot of fun to watch. But I basically just watched highlights of her for the last couple of years. In the last couple of weeks, I've sat down and like actually watched her play a couple of times. And it's pretty unbelievable. And I did so again yesterday. And yesterday, you know, they're in a situation where they got beat early last year. They were the 2 seed, got upset by the 10 seed last year. And they were kind of in a similar spot yesterday against Georgia. And then she went nuts and basically led them to victory. And It's amazing to watch her because we talk about the range. Like, she's got unlimited range from three. She's not afraid to shoot. But some of the passes she makes are just unbelievable. And Iowa win yesterday against Georgia 74-66, and they advance to the Sweet 16. But it's amazing. She finished with 22 points, 12 assists. She's the only women's player in history to have back-to-back NCAA tournament games of at least 20 points and 10 assists. That's according to ESPN Stats and Info. And during one stretch yesterday, she scored or assisted on 27 consecutive points for Iowa. She has scored or assisted on 58% of her team's points in the entire tournament so far. It's unbelievable. Like, she is absolutely crazy to watch. And look, quite frankly, and I don't necessarily mean this as disrespect to the rest of her team, I really don't know how good they are if not for her. Like, she is basically their team. She's unbelievable how good she is. And
yeah, they're solid, but yeah.
They're not anywhere close to a 2 seed if she's not on their team. So she is unbelievable, and I was watching her play yesterday, and I was like, obviously I'm a Tennessee fan. I've watched a lot of really good Tennessee players over the year. I mean, Candace Parker used to be a lot of fun to watch, and I enjoyed doing that. I have not enjoyed watching somebody that's not a Tennessee player in the women's game play more than I do Caitlin Clark, and I'm mad at myself for having not watched her play more full games more often than this, and I will continue to do so as the tournament moves forward. She's unbelievable.
That's a great rant. Rant at yourself and rant at others who don't watch her or watch this tournament, because now I'm really actually excited that they won, and it was a competitive game. The SEC in this tournament, yeah. I mean, Ole Miss just shocked Stanford, which also – I mean, to me, I'm stunned by that because I've watched a fair amount of Ole Miss this year, and they're good. You know, yep. They're a pretty good team, but it shows you the parity is absolutely increasing a lot in the women's game, and you know, you're going to have more and more wild. It's been a lot more chalk than the men's tournament historically. You're going to have a lot more results like that, and you also have an opportunity to have someone like Caitlin Clark at an Iowa. like, you know, back in the day, it was like Tennessee, UConn, like that was such a consolidation of the top talent in the game. And there's just more great players, more good coaches, just more good everything.
Yep.
So, but I'm with you. She is incredible. She is a blast to watch. And Steph Curry is, that's a, you know, I mean, that's a pretty good comparison. I would also make a comparison and show my age. And it's different because the game was different. But Dawn Staley,
yep.
You know, Dawn Staley is like, to me, she is a national treasure. She's an incredible coach. I've actually heard rumblings about a prominent men's program that has talked about hiring Dawn Staley. And I think that at some point, I don't see why that wouldn't happen. Although I also think like it'd be like, I'd like her to stay, you know, where she is because she has a dynasty going. But Dawn Staley is a player, for people who don't remember, like, it just incredible amount of fun and carried a average Virginia team to something way beyond that because of how good she was. So I feel I make that comparison a little bit, but Caitlin Clark with the unlimited range, the passing,
yeah,
my gosh, it's ridiculous. So I mean, look, I'm actively rooting for them to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, she's unbelievable, like you said. I mean, you're looking at the SEC. South Carolina obviously has punched their ticket. LSU is in the Sweet 16. Ole Miss in the Sweet 16 as well, and more opportunities tonight to add to that if you're the SEC, including Tennessee and the Lady Vols will be hosting Toledo tonight in Knoxville. So we've talked about the men's team for the Vols punching their ticket to the Sweet 16, an opportunity for Kelly Harper and the women's team to do that tonight as well against Toledo. And Joe Rexroad, you'll be in the building for that game tonight.
I will be. Heading to Knoxville right after this for that. It's UT against UT, by the way.
You know,
Toledo also says it's UT. So, I mean, I think Toledo is going to be a distant third to the UTs.
I would say so.
And I'm sure there's other UTs out there, I guess.
I guess.
Are there any other states that start with T?
No, it's Texas and Tennessee.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it would have to be a city or something like Toledo.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's UT. They beat Iowa State. They're having an incredible year. This is the biggest win in program history, but like they're dominant. And, you know, you think back to last year. It took three from the corner, or Belmont had Tennessee beat in Knoxville.
Yep.
So this is an example. We just saw Ole Miss beat Stanford. You know, this is not at all just punch your ticket and move on. And it would be a big deal for this Tennessee team to get to the Sweet 16. If they get there, Virginia Tech is already waiting there. You could have worse one seed outcomes than Virginia Tech. I can't lie and say I've watched a ton of Virginia Tech this year. They're obviously having a great season, but it can get interesting if Tennessee can play well tonight in advance.
Well, you said heading into the year this was a Final Four caliber team that Kelly Harper had. Now, there have been injuries that have happened since then, and you know it hasn't necessarily played out that way in the regular season in terms of being a four seed, but – you know, you win tonight, you go to the Sweet 16, you're taking on Virginia Tech if you get there, and then who knows after that. I mean, you've got a chance here if you're Kelly Harper and the Vols to try to make a push. And how cool would that be to have the men's team in the Sweet 16, the women's team in the Sweet 16, and maybe both of them with a chance to do something at that point?
Yeah, and I've been meaning to count that up and how many programs. Of course, we don't know the full Sweet 16 for the women yet, but – how many programs have two? I know obviously UConn is probably going to have – UConn's going to be an example, you know, of a school. Baylor got bounced.
No, not this year. I meant a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying like this year, who have both in the Sweet 16?
I'm just saying I'm allowing myself to look ahead. Tennessee wins tonight, and if they beat Virginia Tech, could be Lady Vols and UConn in the Elite Eight.
Oh, boy.
Then we can talk about Geno more.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is, if Tamari Key didn't get hurt this year, I think Tennessee would be about a two seed right now, and they'd have, you know, they'd have a better chance. But Hollingshead has kind of stepped up in the post, and Jordan Horson and Rekia Jackson right now, if they play their best, that is a heck of a combo. It's a huge deal that Rekia Jackson's coming back next year, projected as a top five pick in WNBA. Jordan Horson also projected as a top five pick in WNBA. So these are, you know, two of their top two players. And if they had the post to go with that, they'd be awfully tough. Still no word from Horson on what she's doing, which makes me wonder if, you know, she's going to actually go and get drafted.
This has been the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Kevin Byard situation as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.